This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International, Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org.
I was planning to talk about some very spiritual things today, but I'm instead going to talk about something else. That what I'm going to talk about now is not spiritual, but there's a goal in every person's life, and it's interesting because from the Old Testament to the New Testament, God shows that He calls people for something specific to do. And in Judges chapter 13, you have the life of Solomon. No, not Solomon, Samson. That's way before Solomon. And who knows, what was Samson's calling in life? What did God want him to do? Okay. He will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistine. That is what God had called Samson to do. And he revealed it to his parents. And and these people knew as they were as the child was growing up that this is what he was supposed to do. And they probably told him so. So he grew up knowing this is what God called me to do. And I want to ask you today, is there something that you believed God called you to do? Especially if you had believing parents who heard it from God. I know one mother who believes that her son, God has called him to be an evangelist. As I've known her for now maybe 15 years or so, and she has said it and has said it. Even when the son, that son is not, he's not an evangelist right now. But she has said it and believed it. About a year ago, I was somewhere, and I heard the young man speak. Not at, he was not preaching, it was some other kind of gathering. And I told myself, boy, that's an evangelist. He would make a good evangelist. Not because of the way he spoke or anything, but I could just tell that I can see this. I can see this happen. And it's a great thing. And so I ask you, is there something that you believe God called you to do at some point? He showed you, He told you, you believed it, people confirmed it. And it was not that you were looking for something or you wanted to do something or you wanted to, but God brought it to you. He revealed to you that this is what I called you to and this is what I want you to do. And now what happened with Samson? What happened with him? Did he fulfill what God had called him to do? Yeah, he did do. He did go from woman to woman, and that's something that David did too. But except David repented of his thingy with Uriah's wife. But Yeah, you can say he did, you can say he did not. But he did do some things to the Philistine. Whether or not he did enough, I do not know. But as you read through his story, like you said, you find out that he runs into a lot of trouble. He goes from woman to woman, and he ends up finally with Delilah, where he kind of loses it all. And you kind of look at that and say, but why would a person whom God called, why would a person who had something, the hand of God upon him, end up like this? What ended up causing Samson a lot of trouble? Was it that the Philistines was too strong for him? Was it that the enemy was too tough, was too strong? No. It was that sin destroyed him. His own disobedience. And I've said this many times here. There's only one person who can ruin your life. That's yourself. There's nobody you can... And I believe this. I don't believe Satan can destroy me. Sometime I was talking about casting out demons, and then someone told me, someone from my family suggested, are you not afraid? I told them, no, I'm not afraid of Satan. I believe Satan's afraid of me. I believe that. I hope you believe that too. Because the Bible says, he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. If this person who's in you is greater than the one who's in the world, who should fear the other? The one who is in you or the one who is in the world? And people cannot destroy your life. They can try to put barriers. They can make your life difficult, but they cannot destroy what God wants you to do with your life. They cannot destroy the calling and the plan that he has for you. It is sin that destroys. And it is sin that ruined a lot of things for Samson. It was not that the Philistines was too strong. It was his sin that ended up, it was not the Philistines who ended up defeating him. It was his sin that ended up defeating him. And he did not overcome his sin. He let himself get into, he let himself go in his lust. And that took over him and destroyed him. It was not people. It was not a person. It was himself in his battle against sin that he did not win. But, however, the question, that's all obvious stuff that I'm sure you all know. But the question is, why did Samson end up like this with Delilah? With his two eyes gouged out in a prison cell, turning, what is it called? Turning a gristmill. A gristmill? Yeah. Doing forced labor in a jail for some pagans. Why did he end up like that? How do you go from a person whom God called? Most people are here in this world walking around not knowing what God wants them to do. But how do you go from that, from a person who was growing up with a purpose? Imagine that. You're growing, I don't know, I've been in college and I've seen the way people struggle with what they're going to do afterwards. It's a big thing, knowing what is it that God wants you to do. I think that's one of the biggest blessings you can ever have. Because it saves you from purposelessness. I was saying to one of you, I hear of some people's lives, yeah, they're saying they're going to go to this city. After that, yeah, they like this other city and they're going to go there. And then they're going to go here, be a bartender. And then they're going to go over to this other place. There'll be a tour guide there. Then they're going to go over to this other place. There'll be a patent lawyer there. And then they're going to move over to this other place and they're going to be doing, I don't know, real estate. And then I tell myself, do they know really what they're, or they're just saying, okay, I guess I have a life on earth. Let me touch as many bases as I can while I'm alive. And it's purposelessness. It's a real problem. If you have the blessing of knowing what God wants you to do, it's a great blessing. And God has something that He wants you to do. And you should seek what that thing is. I recommend the book Consecrate, Sanctified and Consecrated for Spiritual Ministry. It will help you along those lines, as well as how to succeed in a Christian life. Those are both small books that you can read and that I think are must reads for us. But in any case, how do you go from being a person who knows what God wants you to do to becoming a prisoner of the enemy in the very people that you were supposed to conquer for God end up conquering you, putting you in a jail? How did Samson end up like that? And this is what I want to talk about today, and I'm going to tell you what I believe was the problem. It's not that one day Samson just became like that. It says in in verse 20, Samson led Israel for 20 years. This is chapter 15, verse 20. Samson led Israel for 20 years in the days of the Philistine. And then after that, it gives you the story of Delilah and Samson. This is one of those places where having chapter breaks is not useful. If you only read one chapter a day, you will not get this. Because just before that story, it said that he led them 20 years. Then one day, he led Israel for 20 years. Then one day, Samson went out to Gaza where he saw a prostitute. It was that, I believe, here's what happened with Samson. It was that during these 20 years that he led them, he didn't really see much amazing victories. He didn't really see anything that was like, wow, I'm really destroying those Philistines. I mean, he had a few things that he used to read here and there. Just before this, he fought a few in a cave. He overcame them. And there one time he caught some foxes and attached some torches to their tails, and he sent them to their field, and they wiped out their field. And you read those things, that's like, you know, I mean, you go like, okay, I mean, that's some damage, well, you know, but
he did kill
1,000 people with the jawbones, and that is one thing. But if after 20 years that's all he did, that's kind of, you know, it's okay, but it's not the destroying and subduing of the enemy. Israel was still under the Philistine oppression. I heard about the movie, but my friend told me it's a bad movie. But he did not win. He did not deliver the children of Israel from the hands of the Philistines. They were still there. They were still the conquerors. They were still stronger than the people of God. He did not overcome them. Yes, he had some amazing success. God gave him strength. He was a real Superman. But he found out that all that, after 20 years, did not really change much the lives of the people around him. And I want you to think, this is one thing that I want you to think about, is that after some time, you ask yourself, but is this all that God called me to do? Is this all that He wanted me to do? Where's all those promises and all these things that They told me, here's all the, all these things that, yeah, that I was called apart and set apart from birth for a purpose and all these things. Where's all that? And yes, he had some things, and maybe yes, you have some amazing testimonies. A few times here and there, God really used you and something magnificent happened. But other than that, you ask yourself, but where's all that? Where's all that hand of God that they told me about? I think he probably looked at that and looked at his whole life and probably said, I haven't accomplished much. And he fell into discouragement. Now the same thing happened to Elijah. After fire came down from heaven and consumed an offering, and he had victory over those 400 prophets of Baal, the next day he sat down under a tree and told God, I want to die because I failed. I've not been any better than my predecessor. He looked at his, yes, God had worked out some miracles for Elijah, no question. But he looked at the overall picture and told himself, have I brought the people of God back to God? No. He looked at the whole thing and told himself, I failed. I'm the only one who's left here worshiping God. Everyone else has left. I believe this is the reason why, after all that 20 years and not seeing what he thought was success for him, he finally just gave in, saw a prostitute, went in to live with her, and settled there. And after some time of being with this woman, he finally gave away the secret of his strength, which was not that his hair should be cut off. The secret of his strength was that God was with him. And the hair was just a sign that God was with him. When he lost the hair, it was a sign that God had left him. It was not that there was something magical about the hair. And it was not that he was a very muscular man. I see all these movies. I hope in that movie, Samson is not like a big guy who works out a whole lot. Because that's not, if that were the case, if he was a guy with a mountain of muscles, the Philistines would not have asked what was the secret of his strength. It was because he was just like any of us. But then God will come upon him. And then he would have supernatural strength to do the things that he was doing. He did not look like a big Popeye's he was probably a tiny guy with supernatural strength. However, you know, I think it got to that point where he took that call of God less and less seriously because maybe it wasn't going the way he thought it was going to. And then he ended up with this woman and he ended up losing God. He ended up losing his vision. And so they gouged out his eyes. Those were the signs that he had lost the vision. He had stopped gazing at what God had called him to do. He started taking his calling very unseriously. Maybe out of discouragement. Maybe out of, I don't know what. But he ended up in this state. What I'm trying to say to you today is this. Is that a lot of you, I know, God called you to something. You wouldn't be here if God did not care a lot about you. Well, none of us would be here. It is because God knew you, saved you, drew you, and has something for you to do. I know that God has gone and chased after a lot of you. And the thing is this. if knowing that you somehow make give yourself some kind of an idea of, here is what I'm going to have to be in order for me to consider myself a success, then you might end up being very discouraged, very frustrated, very unhappy, and you will yield to the devil. I want to say this to you. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came in power. For 30 years, no one ever heard of him. For 30 years, no one ever heard of him. If you went to him and asked, hey, didn't you, are you the one that was born to be the Savior of the world? He said, yeah. A 12-year-old, he told his friend, I must be in my father's house. He knew from early on who he was and what he was called to do. But for 30 years, it didn't seem like anyone was getting saved. No one knew of him. He was a carpenter in a village. And so much so that when he finally showed up on the scene, people said, has anything good come from Nazareth? And then he started a ministry where he healed a lot of people, fed 5,000 people in one day, just in counting the men. But then at the end of those 3.5 years, there were only 120 people in the upper room. I've often wondered, where were all the people that ate his food? Why were they not there? If you looked at him, if you look at those 120 people, you ask Jesus, but was this your ministry? All this preaching around for 3.5 years, all these miracles, raising the dead. Is this all that you accomplished at the end of it? You end up dying on a cross and then you leave 120 people. Jesus will say, yeah. Because I was not called to do anything that would impress men. I was called to please the Father, to obey him. And as the ultimate act of obedience, to lay my life down at the cross and carry the sins of the world. I've done that and I've accomplished my task. I'm ready to go. The crowds and the Pentecost and all those things, let Peter, John, and them have it. Jesus was not there for any of those things. He came and did for 3.5 years, and then he left. Left 120 people to whom he said, the rest of you go and do greater things than I did. And they sure went and did greater things than Jesus had done. You see, reading the whole book of Acts. And it's funny that someone was saying that he came into the world, a poor village with no education, was a carpenter. He never wrote a book, built no headquarters, did not start a university, a school, or anything like that. Did not build a building. Never ran for any office. He just came, preached, healed people, died. 120 people were faithful to him in the end. And he left. Happily, joyful, knowing that he had accomplished what God wants him to do. I want to say that discouragement and setting false expectations for yourself leads people to a lot of trouble. And another thing is, if you always compare yourself with someone else, envy, or you're always trying to do things to please people, you also run into trouble. Because at the end, you'll find out that you can't, that you cannot always please everybody, and you cannot always be like everybody that you want to be like. Except you can become like Jesus if you really want to. Then you end up being frustrated, and if you're always trying to, you always find out that there's, you cannot always be like anybody that you want to be like, and you cannot always please everyone and meet everybody's expectations. And then you may end up being frustrated, and you may become an easier prey for the enemy. Now, I don't know who this is for and why I'm talking about this today, but I believe that there is a lot of inner problems and a lot of inner frustration that leads a lot of people to fall into sin or to live joyless lives. Because somehow they look at themselves and they somehow have a feeling that God failed them. That God has not done for them what they're expecting for God to do. He's not lived up to his promises. And therefore, you lose the joy and the determination to keep following him and obey him. There's a verse in Hebrews that's always bothered me. It says that, not in Hebrews 11, it says that none of these people received what they were promised. Have you read that? That verse always used to bother me. You have to read the Bible like an honest person. I read that verse, I'm like, that's a bad thing. If they did not receive what they were promised, what did they, were they given the promise to begin with? That sounds like a bad thing to me. Why is that an example of, do you want to be the person who gets promises and doesn't receive them? I don't know if you want. I want, if I'm promised something, I want to get the things I was promised. I know that doesn't sound very spiritual, but that, like I said, it's true. If somebody promises something to me, I want them to do what they told me they're going to do. If they knew that I was not going to receive it, they shouldn't have told me that they were going to do something for me. But when you think of it, it's not that they did not receive what they were promised. From a human point of view, they did not. In the way that men would have understood what they were promised, they did not. God said to Abraham, I will make you a father of many nations. Did he see that? How many children did he have? One. And he did not see, he did not receive what God promised him. But one day Jesus came through Abraham and saved people. And there is a multitude that will be in heaven. And that is the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. There will be a multitude of people of every race, of every nation, of every continent, who will be there. And Abraham also, at some point after some years of not seeing the promise of God fulfilled, he listened to his wife and he had a child, Ishmael. And his descendants are the Muslims, who are the hardest people to win to Christ. They are the result of the faithlessness of the men of faith. Almost every war that happens on earth, that's happening right now on earth, has some kind of relation to Islam. Bad things happen when we start to feel that God has not lived up to his promises to us. We end up in discouragement and we end up falling praise to the devil. We end up falling in sin. Watch out for it. Thank God. Bless the Lord. Thank him for everything he does for you. Thank him for the promises that he has given to you. Trust him that he will bring them to pass in his own way, in his own time. And for the time being, be blessed. Be happy. Count yourself a blessed person, that your name is written in the book of life, that you are a child of God, that you have a loving father who cares for you, and that, you know, that you're saved, that you can go before the Lord, have a relationship with Him, know Him, know His heart, hear His voice, let Him guide you, and so on. Those are blessings beyond any other thing that we can think, imagine, and so on. Amen.